Jay Mariotti here. They call this the cold open, but because of the flurry of NBA activity in the last several hours, I'm just going to ramble here for a bit, and then we'll get to our liners and our pre-recorded stuff and so on. But my God, we're all dizzy. And we've never seen a basketball nomad quite like Kevin Durant, who seems to change teams as if he's flipping houses or trading in girlfriends. In his unfulfilled pursuit of NBA happiness, he's now off to the Nets. Long ridiculed but now an admired team in the NBA, in a prearranged collaboration with his friends Kyrie Irving and DeAndre Jordan. Now, it's a four-year deal, certain to bring him more criticism and probably even less happiness. That's what I said. Last time, Durant was ripped for needing to create a super team to win titles with the Warriors. This time, he's taking $57 million less than he was offered by Golden State to play in Brooklyn, where he will rehab his ruptured Achilles and then play with the megalomaniacal Irving, that's the proper word for Kyrie, who cannot get along with anybody, just as Durant has had issues with teammates. If Durant thought Draymond Green was divisive, wait until he gets a whiff of angry Kyrie. Ah! Think about this. Say KD never returns to his pre-injury greatness. Will Kyrie turn on Durant the way he turned on his Celtics teammates last season? And back in San Francisco, aren't owner Joe Lacob and the Warriors privately relieved by Durant's departure, knowing that $220 million for damaged goods would not have been the wisest investment anyway, having just spent, what, more than $1 billion to build that new San Francisco arena? Already, Lacob, Bob Myers, sinking some of that KD money into a sign-and-trade deal for, surprise, D'Angelo Russell. Where did that come from? And he gives Golden State yet another shooter while Klay Thompson rehabs after knee surgery. And to make way for D'Angelo, they traded away the former Finals MVP Andre Iguodala. And this is curious because, as I told you the other day, Iguodala, I think, ticked off the front office when he said last week that former coach Mark Jackson was fired in part because his religious beliefs clashed with those of team president Rick Welts, who happens to be openly gay. Oh, and Iguodala also said he had a fractured leg last season when the team was calling it something less severe. So he's claiming the Warriors are lying about injuries. In regard to Kevin Durant, that was the context. They shipped him off to Memphis. That is not how Andre Iguodala, a guy who has been bandied about as a potential Hall of Famer, he doesn't want to end his career in Memphis. I know Ja Morant is there, but Iguodala, Memphis, that's really not the finish I think anybody figured for him. I figured he'd end his career in Golden State. Something really weird going on behind the scenes with that. Now, does D'Angelo make them a title contender? No. But if Thompson returns for the postseason, Golden State is not a team you want to play in May. The Warriors look at this in the big picture. They squeezed the best out of Kevin Durant, two championships and a near third. And now that he's hurt, it's see ya, bye-bye. And did you also notice how Durant, Irving, and Jordan, among many others, clearly ignored, along with their agents and the teams, those NBA rules that say free agent negotiations cannot start until 6 p.m. Eastern time on June the 30th. Obviously, the Nets violated that deal, as did other teams. I guess that's how this mercenary madness works. Tampering goes right out the window. And Commissioner Adam Silver had better address this and eliminate a perception problem in the room. That is, deals are going down days, weeks, maybe even months in advance, while players are in the employ of other franchises. And that is messing with the integrity of the league and the very virtue of competition.
Welcome to Unmuted with Jay Mariotti, the podcast devoted to making sports talk great again. Few have made more impact in sports media than Jay, and certainly no one has been called more names. Some actually true. Yeah. He's the fiercely independent lightning rod, who has produced massive ratings for ESPN's Around the Horn, made powerful waves as a national and major market talk host, and ruled Chicago as a columnist for 17 years. Unmuted is a topical whirlwind that doesn't stop until all the news is analyzed. So here he is, back from his day job in Hollywood. For the next half hour or so. Or maybe 40 minutes, depending on the Lakers, Raiders, Trump, and Odell Beckham Jr.'s latest mood swing. The one, the only, Jay Mariotti.
As I said, this is an abbreviated version of Unmuted, necessitated by breaking news. For all I know, there's breaking news right now. Make no mistake here, Durant clearly thumbing his nose at the Warriors. Myers, the general manager who broke down after Durant's devastating injury in the finals, actually flew to New York over the weekend to meet with Durant. And Steph Curry, who was flying halfway around the world from China, gets the news in the middle of the flight that Durant isn't even going to have lunch with him. Durant blew them both off without even coffee, then leaked his decision to ESPN on Sunday afternoon, then confirmed it via an Instagram video at the stroke of 6 p.m. Eastern, when the wildest addition yet of NBA free agency kicked in. His departure confirms the stories that hung so darkly over that franchise all season, that Durant had one of those very big sneakers already out the door, not at all pleased with being an outcast of sorts in the fiefdom of the adored Steph Curry. It also suggests that Durant was angry that Myers and coach Steve Kerr, as advised by the team's medical staff, told him that his calf strain could not be damaged more than it already was in the finals, which, of course, was bad information, as we saw with the Achilles rupture when Durant did return briefly. He needed a clean break out of Golden State. I think both parties now will take a step back next season as the Warriors continue to plot how else to eventually spend money slated for Durant. And I'll say it again, Giannis Antetokounmpo is a free agent in 2 years, and isn't San Francisco the most European of American cities? So you've got D'Angelo Russell. Oh, a word on D'Angelo. Recently, D'Angelo tries to smuggle weed into a New York airport. I know, it's weed. California, he won't have any problems. However, if he has grown up, as they say, D'Angelo, don't, you know the different rules for different states and the laws and which airport you're in and what you can transport and what you can't. D'Angelo, leave your weed at home. Don't take it on any airplane. So before you think Golden State pulled a fast one here and burned the Lakers, I'm not completely convinced D'Angelo Russell is out of the woods or the weeds, if you know what I mean. As for Durant, he will watch Kyrie and DeAndre lead the Nets to the playoffs, definitely a playoff team, even without Durant. With unheralded talents such as Spencer Dinwiddie, Caris LeVert, Joe Harris, and Jarrett Allen. What a great job Sean Marks has done, that general manager in Brooklyn. And then we'll see in the fall of 2020 if Durant can resume his Hall of Fame career after Achilles surgery, or if he's just a shadow of his former self. Either way, these are new heights for the Nets, who only 4 years ago were a gutted mess, always a laughingstock in this league, only to be rescued by Marks, yet another Greg Popovich, San Antonio protege, and their head coach Kenny Atkinson. Nobody knows these guys. You will now. That's a premier team that's going to be on TV all the time. All of which comes as Joe Tsai. Joe Tsai, that is spelled T-S-A-I, gradually takes controlling interest in the team from Mikhail Prokhorov, the Russian billionaire who signed off on the hideous deal, remember, earlier this decade that almost killed the Nets, trading away oodles of first-round picks to Boston for fading stars Kevin Garnett and Paul Pierce. And to think Brooklyn used to be that place you'd look at from your Manhattan hotel room and wonder why you only went over there across the bridge for steaks at Peter Luger's. Now we'll be crossing that bridge all the time for the new basketball Broadway, with Durant taking a $164 million deal for 4 years and not even giving the Warriors a chance to do a sign and trade with the Nets that could have assured him his $221 million. He didn't want the Nets doing business with the Warriors. He didn't want to do business with the Warriors. And he gives up $57 million to stick it up their ass. This is fascinating. I mean, to think where this all started. They all recruit him in the Hamptons, all lovey-dovey. They win a championship, and then it falls apart because Durant starts to realize this is the kingdom of Steph Curry, and the fans loved him, and Durant felt like an outcast. It's an amazing sociological downfall. I never have seen anything like this in sports, but the fact that Durant said, I don't even need your $57 million, just get me out of here, says all you need to know about all the stories we heard all year long. By the way, stories that Durant continued to deny angrily at times, getting on certain reporters, calling them out by name. Oh, KD, you were lying. That's fake news all year long, right? I guess the reporters were correct. Also consider this. With those bright lights in New York comes this warning for Durant and Irving, both overly sensitive and highly critical of the media. If they thought the pressure was unfair in the Bay Area and in Boston, watch what happens if they underachieve in New York. They will have a honeymoon, though, because of Durant's injury and the ongoing futility of that idiot at Madison Square Garden. And all I can think about was that moment on All-Star Weekend. Remember this? When Durant and Irving were spotted talking privately in a hallway, prompting some of those very media stories that caused both of them to lash out at the media. Guess what, guys? You're both guilty of fake news. What about Kyrie standing before the Boston fans at TD Garden before the season, takes the house mic, and announces he will be re-signing with the Celtics in free agency? More fake news. Can we trust anything this guy says, Kyrie? Turns out his journey to Boston was a disaster. He left Cleveland, and LeBron James, after winning a title, was thrilled to be traded to Boston, got hurt, then turned into a jerk when he returned and realized the younger players weren't fond of his selfishness. I'm going to make a prediction. Kyrie never plays in the NBA Finals again, nor will Kevin Durant. But I'll also say this, it's never, ever dull with these two guys. And just wait until the New York Post and the talk shows start blasting away. The Durant-Irving hookup is viewed as the ultimate indictment now of the Knickerbockers, who tanked and roster dumped to clear out two high-priced slots, thinking they had a legit chance of getting Durant and Irving. That the duo instead went to Brooklyn. Well, if I was the maligned owner, James Dolan, I'd be hiring some security people and not going out in public in that city, maybe ever again, and I'm serious. To think Dolan actually did not want to offer Durant the max, concerned about his recovery from that Achilles rupture, not that it would have mattered. Durant and Kyrie had sealed this Brooklyn thing all along, because altogether now, Dolan is an ass clown, and they were never going to the Knicks. Which is amazing because Rich Kleiman, Durant's manager, grew up a huge Knicks fan. I think a job was waiting for him with the Knicks. I think even he realizes he did not want to send his guy to the Knicks and have his career fade into oblivion with R.J. Barrett and what exactly? No, they made the right call. If they were going to leave Golden State, this was the right call. I thought hooking up with Kawhi Leonard with the Clippers would have made sense, but it seems pretty clear that Durant, who's doctor, his surgeon, they're in New York. He just wants to get to New York. He's a big media guy. Granted, the Bay Area, digital media, and he certainly took advantage. But look, ESPN, he's got a partnership with them. They're in Bristol, Connecticut. He does things with other networks, Showtime. They're based in New York. So don't think, it's a big world, folks. We're all interconnected. He can go be a big media guy in New York, certainly. It remains the media capital of the world. By the way, didn't Dolan say this free agency period would be a game changer for the Knicks? No, it only exacerbates the endless agony for the fans, the reality that nothing will change there until he sells the team, which he says he won't do. Is Jim not getting the message here that the league's best players think he's a joke and would rather play naked in poison ivy than in the garden? Know how bad it is? Even Terry Rozier, a player who thrives on attention, rejected the Knicks to replace Kemba Walker with the Charlotte Hornets. Good luck to Barrett, who bears the unreasonable burden of lifting a team that cannot be lifted. And Jimmy Butler is taking his talents to South Beach, a mammoth statement about his lack of faith in the 76ers. But Philly turned right around and added Al Horford, who will be a much-needed veteran presence for those kids, Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons, while also re-signing Tobias Harris and getting Josh Richardson, a very talented guard, in the Butler deal. I think the Sixers got better. I loved Butler there, but if he didn't want to be there, then I think they got better. They remain Eastern Conference contenders, even if Butler didn't like playing babysitter to Embiid and Simmons, while shooting maven J.J. Redick signs with New Orleans to join Zion Williamson and all those ex-Lakers who cannot make threes. Message to Embiid and Simmons, time to grow up, kids. Al Horford is a man. He wants a championship. So up in Boston, the natives are seething, wondering how Kyrie could end up in Brooklyn and Horford in Philly. Now we're going to see if Brad Stevens is a coaching genius or a college coach in over his head. The Celtics lost Irving, Rozier, and Horford after their tumultuous season, but they do get a team-first leader in Walker, the do-everything guard. Fans will love him there, to go with Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown. This is not a contender, but I think they're a fifth seed in the East, and Walker is going to be a better fit for that team than Irving as a culture influence and, as I said, an all-encompassing guard. If Kawhi Leonard returns to the Raptors, yeah, Toronto is the favorite to win it all. But if Leonard does go to one of the LA teams, the Milwaukee Bucks become favorites in the East after retaining Chris Middleton for $190. Chris Middleton, $190. And Brooke Lopez. But again, look out for Philly, which, as I said, I think they've actually gotten better. Okay, time out to let our heads stop spinning as we await the biggest news. Will it be Kawhi to the Lakers, Kawhi to the Clippers, or Kawhi stays in Toronto? The Lakers lost out on Russell, and they've created money. So here is LeBron James' chance to be the closer and convince Leonard to create the greatest threesome in basketball history. If Leonard stays in Toronto for another year, what are the Lakers going to do with that? Everybody else signed. Who else is out there? That would be classic. Okay, Rob Pelinka clears out everything. Oh, but nobody comes, and we've got all this money here. Well, good. Then they can divide it up. The problem is Lopez would have been perfect for them. He re-signed. Some of the very players they want have gone elsewhere. As I've said all along, the Lakers could still very easily screw this up. And Kawhi, who is out in L.A. right now, taking meetings. Some advice, Kawhi. Stay in Toronto for one more year. Win another title. Avoid the drama. Which brings us to quickies, which are just that. Quick! Unlike Major League Baseball, the NBA does understand the modern world and adjusts to life accordingly in the 21st century. Indeed, in time for the 2021-22 season, Commissioner Adam Silver is exploring how to shorten the 82-game regular season while possibly adding a mid-season tournament and even postseason play-in events. Wow. Never mind that sports owners are loath to ever give up revenue or games. Silver realizes the length and density of the current schedule have led the likes of Kawhi to blow off several regular season games to preserve their bodies for the playoff grind. Silver is thinking about preserving the players and the fans. He's thinking about the fans. After all, if the players are hurt, the fans aren't going to the games. And if the owners don't like this, screw the owners. You know how I feel about owners. And do not understate the magnitude of Novak Djokovic's current run atop tennis. A win at Wimbledon would be his fourth in the past five Grand Slam events, losing only on clay at the French Open, which is some comeback for a guy who only a year ago arrived in London out of the top 10 after elbow surgery. Now, Djokovic is back in the hunt for the all-time Grand Slam victory record, which is a lot of fun. Right now, Federer leads with 20, and the clay fiend himself, Rafael Nadal, has 18. A victory would give Joker 16, but he's only 32, 5 years younger than Roger, and a year younger than the injury-plagued Nadal. Novak says he'd love to catch them. Tell you what, a win at the All England Club might put him on his way. As if the New York Mets aren't dysfunctional enough, they even screwed up when they tried to honor their legendary 1969 team. During a tribute video, the Mets listed Jim Gosger and Jesse Hudson as deceased. Both are alive, both are well, and the Mets had to apologize, just as they apologized days before to a reporter who was exposed to clubhouse threats, and just as they should be apologizing to New Yorkers everywhere for even existing. And gracious thanks go to HBO's Real Sports for exposing the sick vile culture of a sports bro site. That site's name is so far beneath me here in the ultra gutter of life, I'm not even going to mention it. But I'm the one who did point out 3 years ago that the site's founder, who has a Charlie Manson kind of effect on the troubled sheep who follow him and his site, got started with this media thing when he posted a photo of Tom Brady's naked son, who was 3 years old at the time. This site is cashing in on some sort of twisted subculture of young disenfranchised males, the sort of trash that should be banned from the internet. At some point, I'm thinking the founder ends up in the slammer.
And now a final Mariotti commentary too hot for ESPN, too smart for the internet, and too white male for Jemele Hill. Take it away, Jay.
Don't you just love the way the U.S. women's soccer team, armed with an abundance of sass, plays mind games with notable male leaders? First, it was the sitting president of the United States, and now it's Phil Neville, coach of the English team. When Neville's team was practicing Sunday for Tuesday's World Cup semifinal against the Americans in the French city of Lyon, U.S. coach Jill Ellis, who happens to be an English native, this is getting juicy, sent a pair of staff members to Team England's hotel. Why? Because if the Americans win this game, they will move into that hotel for the World Cup final Saturday, also held in Lyon. And apparently, yuck, they wanted to get the lay of the land at the hotel. I think they had a feistier agenda. They wanted to get inside the heads of the coach and England's team. And they succeeded, damn it, as Neville condemned Ellis and the U.S. team for a lack of etiquette and class for snooping around England's hotel while they were still staying there. Yes, the Americans succeeded, just as Megan Rapinoe took down Trump and saying she's not going to the bleeping White House, she used the F word, then scored both U.S. goals in that victory over France. Between that unnecessary 13-0 pile-on of Thailand, Rapinoe versus Trump, and a comment by Ali Krieger, another Trump basher, that the U.S. not only is the best team in the world, but the second best team in the world, meaning their reserves. You might say this team is brash and arrogant, but you know what? I don't think they're ugly Americans in the least. I think it's great. You know why? Because they are backing up their words and their ploys by winning. And if they do go on to win the World Cup, and I think they will, this might be the most memorable women's team in this country's history, including the 99 women's soccer team that started all of this greatness and grandeur. In fact, you might even want to admit women's from that statement. This might be an all-time memorable American sports team if they finish the job. That's our show. For our producer and editor, Chris, I am Jay, reminding you to never, ever let anybody mute you in life.